As Barb read, we're going to be looking at Philippians, something that Paul wrote to the people in Philippi. And I think we need to get right down to work because we've got a lot to do this morning. That's why I'm wearing my Bob the Builder shirt today. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for action and ready to dive right into God's word. So why don't we pray to start, and then I'll give you just a little setting of the letter to Philippi. And then I'm going to give you a couple challenges that I've experienced in my own life and hopefully that you'll take to heart as well. And let's go for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we're able to come and open it up freely and read it together. So I look forward to that. Thank you for Paul and for his transformation, his big life change that resulted in action and moving for you. And thank you for the way that you've worked in our lives. And I know there are many here that are in relationship with you. And so thank you for that. Thank you for your transforming work that happened when we became friends of you, in relationship with you. And then thank you for the way you continue your work, as Paul said in this letter too. And for those who don't know you, God, this morning, that are here just coming because maybe someone dragged them, or they just came because they're curious, or they kind of heard a little bit about this online and they wanted to discover more. So for that person this morning, I ask that you would speak to them and show them that you are real. You're real. And you have hope for them. You have change for them. There's something new that you have that you want to give to them, to us. And God, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians is a great book, and it comes from a guy named Paul. And for those of us who know Paul really well, it's such an old story, but I'll say it really quickly again. He was just completely changed, right? He was a guy who wanted to actually get after those Christians in his time. People who followed the way, as they call it. And Jesus was the way, by the way. So they followed the way. They followed Jesus. And they wanted to stamp that out because that was not right. The only God was the true high God that was in heaven, not Jesus. Jesus was not the Messiah. He was not the chosen one. And they needed to stamp it out. So literally, Paul would not only chase people to put them in prison, but he would go as far as to want to kill them. And so there was this kind of emphatic, like real crazy state that was going on here. And so on his way, Jesus decides to give him a break, right? Because this is intense to be able to live like that. That's not easy. He gives him a break. He moves into his world, and with a bright light, blinds him, and then opens his eyes to reality. And that Jesus is the Son of God. And that God is here to actually give him life. He doesn't have to be this guy on the road chasing down people. He doesn't have to protect and be the God of everybody. Actually, there is a God that's in control, and now he can follow that God and find life. Pretty cool story. And then about not much long after that, he becomes a missionary. He goes on missionary journeys. And one of his missionary journeys, he actually establishes the church that he's writing to here in the letter. He starts it. Interesting, because he goes to Philippi. And Philippi is not that big of a city. I don't know what it was, 15 to 17,000 or something like that of people. And a lot of it represented people who maybe were slaves and working in the serving people services. And then, of course, they say there's a small percentage of Romans, former soldiers, who were there. And they had, I guess, lots set aside that they could live there as well. So there's a bit of that, too. But basically, it was a city of mainly Roman people, Roman citizens, who were worshiping other gods. And certainly Caesar, who was the savior, right? That's what he proclaimed, himself proclaimed savior, who was there to set them free. Paul came to give something different to Philippi. And as he did that, he couldn't even find a synagogue because there weren't enough Jewish people there. And so there's nowhere to even go. So as typically they would do, they go to find the people. So he went to the river. And the story goes, he finds Lydia. And they discover people who are praying and worshiping God. And they start to establish this church. And then something crazy happens. He runs into this girl who is demon-possessed. By the way, this is God's plan. The lady's demon-possessed. And she needs freedom. So God wants to do some transformation in her life. And so he actually sets her free from that. And she can no longer prophesy and do all these things. But there's a problem with that because the people who sort of owned her, as it were using her in order to make money and a lot of it. And now that was cut off. So I tell you all this story just to tell you then Paul's put in prison. He's put in prison with his friend, and they're in prison. And what do? While they're in prison, they just sing praises to God. Doesn't make sense, right? This is the God I'm telling you about. This is the God that wanted to come for Paul and for us. He wants to come and he wants to make our life new. Isn't necessarily going to change everything and make it great, but he's going to let us live in it and find hope. A transformation, right? Something new. Where even the worst things that might happen, we will discover that God is with us. And within that, there is hope and there's life. There's a real confidence that we can walk forward no matter what. And God is going to be with us. And in the beginning of the year, as we are, that's a good thing to hang on to. It's awesome. And so Paul walked out of there. I mean, initially, as the story goes, he stayed because he wanted to be a witness also to the people within the jail. And he was. But God used him after that, and the church continued to grow. And now some, maybe 20 years after he'd met Jesus, he's in prison again. But this time in house arrest, and he writes a letter. And so it's like this guy who's been through a lot in life, he maybe possibly is at the end of his ministry, and he wants to share with the people he loves back in Philippi, who he helped establish a church, this is what you need to do. Because it's been a lot of years, just like us, it's been a lot of years maybe that we've been Christians, and they've kind of just become familiar with it. And now they're kind of stayed a little bit maybe in their religion, and they're actually finding things to argue about now, like we do. We got a new projector coming. I'm sure some of us will find something to argue about there when it happens. And maybe it's going to sit right above where we are and something's going to buzz and it's going to bug us. Or maybe you're moving the cross? What are you talking about? This is the center of our church. Well, yeah, it might move. It might go over here. It might go over there. I don't know where it's going to go. But we're not moving Jesus. You know, there's lots of things that we can get sort of all tied up in knots about. And that's what was happening there too. And Paul's just trying to say to them, when he comes to this passage, he says, hold on a minute. I want to tell you something. This is what I do. You guys think you got it all together, and you do. You're doing well. You're in relationship with Jesus. Look at me. Look at all the journeys I've been through. You know about my life. You supported me. And this is all I want. I look at all that stuff, and prior to this passage, it says it's like garbage. It's not necessary. I just put it behind me. And so we come to the passage, Philippians 3. And what verse am I on, Barb? Thank you. Verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ. Simple as that. I want to know Christ. So let's put that before us. I want you, if it's all possible this morning, can you please shut it out, all the stuff around you, if you can do that. And think about what it would mean to you if you were to say this morning, I just want to know Christ. Now, if you don't know anything about Jesus and you're here this morning, that's going to be kind of weird for you, but bear with me here a little bit, and we'll walk through it a bit. It's not going to take me that long, but we'll walk through it a little bit. Here's the challenges that we have from Paul in this letter. And the first one is that you would consider doing that. Just say right now, all I want to know is Christ. That's what I want. I don't care what you've been through, what's happened to you, what people have done to you, what you wish you would have done, any of that stuff. In this passage, Paul very clearly is telling us to forget about it, right? Put it behind you. Forget about it. It's not denial. It's not that. Because forgetting about it, who can do that, right? Let's face it. I don't know what you've been through. I really don't. I know what I've been through. But it's really hard to forget about it and to move on. So let's start reading it here, verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes. He's being very emphatic. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection. Now that starts off really well, right? Who doesn't want that? And what does power of resurrection maybe stand out to you? As Christians, we can probably quickly identify that as, well, that's being saved. He died and rose again to take away my sins. And so I'm saved. Well, and if you're in the faith and you've studied just a little bit more, you say, well, also within this death on the cross when he died for all of me. And he wants to heal me completely, whole healing. And that's obviously ultimately going to happen when we go to see Jesus in heaven. But there's also healing here. That transformation we're talking about, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's intellectual, it's physical. So there's all sorts of things that can happen to us here on this earth. And so you think about that too. Well, the power of the resurrection. I like that. Who could, like, anybody like that? You guys got to, yeah, okay, you like it. That's really good stuff. But Barb and I were kind of discussing this just before the service. Now it gets kind of not so good. Not good at all, actually. Although, that's just looking at it from our eyes sometimes. Now, what I want to do as we talk about these next couple things that Paul talks about, they're also challenges. Let's attempt to allow, because we already said I want to know Christ. Let's attempt to allow Christ, maybe through his Holy Spirit, which is his presence here in us. Let's attempt to allow him to show us something different about these next two things. All right? Maybe they're not as glim and, as glum as they might look. Okay. So we're at verse 10. Now where am I, Bart? Okay, so I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. So those are seemingly opposite. But actually, they're not. They're very closely tied together. And I don't even think one can go without the other. Because wasn't it in Paul's sufferings, if you want to call it that, that he learned who Jesus was? It's so easy to trust in somebody when things are going really well and to expect things to go well. But when things aren't going well, and if you can walk with Jesus and trust him in your sufferings, the things that are pulling you back and making life difficult for you, that's a different thing. So he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have fellowship with his suffering. And I don't know what you think about when you hear the word fellowship, but that's not exactly, or participation it says here, but fellowship with his sufferings is like being a friend, it seems like. What a friend I have in Jesus, I thought the song was not suffering. And yet, it almost seems like that's what he's saying here. So let's carry on. And then it says, becoming like him in his death. Okay, now that's going too far, right, isn't it? Because I'm talking about life here. Jesus died so that we might live in the power of his resurrection. That's where we're going here. That's what I want. That's what I want to be in. And yet, here, we see Paul very clearly saying, no, I want to be experiencing the power of his resurrection. I want to be fellowshipping or participating with his suffering. And I want to even, in fact, I want to be a part of his death. I want to die. Just like him. And so, and I like the way it ends this part of the passage. It says, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I like it because he doesn't have clear answers. Paul doesn't have this is exactly what it's going to be like. He says, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of life, to live again. And I think he's referring not only to in the end of life, but also right here, to attain that resurrection where I receive life. Okay, so here's the thing. We want the power of the resurrection, but in order to get that, we have to walk with Jesus. And to walk with Jesus, we have to go through all of life's ups and downs. And as we go through all of life's ups and downs, we discover that's where Jesus lifts us up and raises us up, and we experience the power of the resurrection. How are you going to experience the power of the resurrection if you don't know you're dead? Okay, so you go through the sufferings. It's painful, but then you experience God's life, and he raises you up out of it. And believe me, it's not that easy, but anyhow, that's what happens. And sometimes it's very long-term situations that we're going to go through. And then we get to the point where we actually have to die. Now, that's important because Paul knows that in order for him to have made that change initially in Damascus, where he met Jesus and the light came on him, he actually had to give it all up. He had to die to himself in order that he could live to Christ. And then he went out in the power of the resurrection and started doing his missionary journeys and established a church. And he's reminding them of that. And so actually, it's essential that we go through this whole process in order that we can find life. And we don't want to do that, but that's the fact. We have to do that. We walk through that process. That's the key to experiencing life in Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power and the resurrection of my life. I want to see transformation in me. I want to see transformation in my family. I want to see transformation in my friends that I've seen are going through pain. I want to see transformation for my friend who's dying of cancer. I want to see transformation for my friend who just saw a loved one die and they don't know what to do with themselves anymore. I want to see God work in the power of his resurrection in those lives. And he is going to do that. And Paul's showing how he's done it in his life. And now he's reminding them, this is all I want. This is it. Guys, can we peel it back? Just peel all the stuff back and let him, Christ, enter in. And be willing to trust him and to walk forward in whatever it is he takes us through, because you know it's not going to be easy all the time, but as we commit our ways to him, he will give us peace, as he says later in Philippians. And he says in Proverbs that he'll direct all our paths and make them straight. This is the God I'm talking about, the God of transformation, the God who is sitting on the throne, who is in control of all things. And yet, here's what happens. We get lost in it, in our journey. And we end up walking this way and that way. We get distracted. And all of a sudden, we don't believe in that God. All we believe in is the religion of coming to church and singing and getting a little hype and then going home and that's it. Well, no, there's so much more to that. Can I tell you that? And that's what Paul's trying to say. There's so much more. Oh, I just want Christ. I don't want the power of his resurrection. And I can walk with him through the suffering. I want to die to him because I know that then I'm going to experience life. Sounds crazy, but it's true. I want to die to myself so that I can scream. I've got to give it up. I was in a meeting this week, and I was being distracted. I wasn't running the race very well. Paul talks a couple times about a race, and he does here too. I wasn't running the race very well, very distracted, and I didn't even notice that that was happening. You ever do that, where you're kind of doing stuff, and you're going along, and it's just not going quite so well. You get a little anxious. You get a little overwhelmed. And then you just kind of go through it. Sometimes you just push through whatever it is so you get it done. But in Christ, when you say, I want to know Christ, that means you're inviting him into everything you do. So he can take those moments and he can sort of say, hey, this is what's happening. Why don't you commit it to me? Why don't you let me be that? And I'll walk with you through the suffering. And I'll walk with you as you die to yourself, because that's what you're going to have to do, right? So when you see the suffering, you have to give it up. You really do. You can't just walk through it. Don't just try to figure out another self-help. Actually, give it to Jesus. Surrender. Die, please, so that you can experience life. And so I kind of went through this. I know I'm being a little dramatic, but I went through this in a meeting, and I'm telling you, it was like life. I said, it was so extreme that I went through what I considered suffering, when some people would have been nothing. And then I just finally surrendered. I said, God, that's it. It's you. I just give it to you. It's like breathing life into me. I was just giddy almost. And I know that that's not always the case. And you can't always measure it by emotions, right? It's not always like that. But God does want to give that to you. And it didn't mean that my situation changed. I'm still in the same situation. But I can walk through it now in confidence that Christ was with me. And we're good to go when Christ is with us, right? So what distracts you? I'm almost done here. But what distracts you? So there's so many things that could distract us. And I can go through the basic things like work and relationships, challenges with friends that we have that are struggling with things, deaths in friends and family. It could be emotional issues that we're struggling with. We can't let go of something that's hurt us in the past and it's still there. It could be we're involved in a situation where we're being hurt and so we can't get over that. All of these things can become things that hold us back from Christ. And so that's why we call them distractions, even though you may say, well, these are big things. And yeah, they are. But what we want to do is figure out how we can bring it back to Christ and allow Christ to be a part of it. And please, do not think that I'm saying these things are light and they're easy and they're just going to be like that meeting I had. Boom, I'm good to go. No. But like Paul, we're going to experience the power of resurrection. We're going to go through the suffering. We're going to have to die to ourselves. And it could be a long-term process. But in the midst of it, God will give you life. And so the passage goes on, and it says, not that I have already attained all of this. So Paul, who's unbelievable in his ministries that he's done, he had this dramatic change, right, where God actually met him on a road and turned him. Paul says, I haven't obtained it all. I don't have it all. I haven't already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He's pressing on. I bought the Builder shirt on because I'm pressing on. I'm going on. It's not about me and about what I do, but as I press on, God, it's like it just ignites something. The Holy Spirit sees that I'm willing to submit and die to Him, and so He is now able to move in and work with me. So the things that I'm, like when I say I'm pressing on, I can't even do that. But as I do it in faith, trusting Him and dying to myself, He gives me the power to press on and move on. And that's what He's saying to these guys. We have to do the same thing. And it says here, I press on to take hold of that which Jesus took hold of me. Isn't that pretty awesome? You can remember what Jesus did and how Jesus opened His eyes. I want that. I want more of that. We need more of that. Going on and walking with Jesus. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Again, he says it. But one thing I do, and here's a challenge I have for you this morning. It's not an easy one. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the race for which God has called me. God has called me. See, God has a calling on our lives. And we need to stretch forward, reach out and find it. And it's not about, trust me, I can't say this enough. It's not about the fact that we're stretching out. It's just that we are submitting to God and stretching out. And then He blesses us. It gives the idea of Paul, in this case, running a race with racers behind him. And he's going to win the race. And it's like they're not even there. He doesn't even know they're there because he's got this race. And it's all about Christ. It's not about anybody else or anything else around them. I know that we can also be distracted by church. A lot of us may come from different churches. And we have our histories. We have things that are happening. And those things actually can hold us back. Well, I don't think the scripture is saying not to work through things because we need to work through things. But if it's a distraction, if it's actually something that's holding you back from experiencing the life God has for you, you need to forget about it. No, I'm serious. You need to forget about it. You need to put it behind you and allow the Holy Spirit then to guide you. And He will show you some of the forgetting might actually be going back to it and dealing with it. That may be it. I don't know. But God has His ways, and we need to forget about it. And as we move forward, strain forward, it's this idea of leaning and just reaching out for something. It's then God's power that comes, because our power is so wimpy, right? Like, oh, I'm so small, I have not much I can do. But somehow when I reach out in faith in Christ, He empowers me to find what He has for me, the goal in the end. This is what Paul's calling us to do. So as we come to the table this morning, we remember this. The work that Christ did for us on our behalf. Paul talked about power over sin in Romans. He talked about the fact that we need to, our spiritual act of worship is dying to ourselves, all these types of things. Well, Christ has done the work for us on the cross. And as we come here, we're going to take from the bread, which represents His body, broken for us. We're going to drink some juice, and that's going to represent His blood that was actually shed for us. And there's symbols. But they symbolize the work and power that Christ has done. So guys, one thing you need to do is strive forward for Christ. Behind whatever it is that's holding you back. Literally. And you don't have the ability to do it, but as you do, through God's power, His resurrection, He will do it for you. And you will find life. Right? So you can go forward and do the things that God's called you to do. And you will find joy in doing it. So now as we take communion together, we're going to do this in stations. And when you come to a station, there'll be people that will serve you. And as they serve you, they will say, it's the body of Christ for you. Christ's body broken. And the same with the juice. This is, you'll take the bread, which represents Christ's body, and you'll dip it into the juice, and then the juice is Christ's blood. Representative of that, Christ's blood shed for you. It's very personal and it's very relational. And by the way, when Paul called these guys to this race, you get this picture of Paul running on his own. Well, that's not the case. Not at all. Because we know that, first of all he wanted was Christ, right? So Christ is with him. But not only that, but look at who he's sharing it with. Guys, when we're running this race and we're reaching out for the goal, we're not on our own. Jesus is with us. And we are together. We need to share that journey with one another so that we can together move and reach up. It's very relational. If we're independent on our own, we're on the wrong road. We need to get back together again. And that's where Christ can work and open up our whole world to new things. So, our stations. Kyle and I
night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. So let's do so, giving thanks. Mm-hmm. Father God, we do give thanks that you are a God who's with us always, mm-hmm. that you've come to be known in a way that we can actually touch you, know you. Mm-hmm. As we receive this gift, God, we remind ourselves of what it is to open ourselves up to your work in our lives. And we would just echo the prayers of Christ, of Paul. We want to know Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. As you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And then he also took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for you. Mm-hmm. And as you drink, know that you do this in remembrance of me. So we'll invite you to the stage just to let you know that there is